Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Once I played a Penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Those is recently deceased. A real cool mom, musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey, now come with me and fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together, you and I are brave.
Welcome to Breaking Broadway. So on this podcast, we talk a lot about people getting started in Broadway shows from workshops and readings. Today, I thought I would bring some creators onto the show to talk about that process of starting a new musical. So I have the composer, Aaron Accurso, and the lyricist, book writer, Joey Mazzarino, of a reading that I did called Seeing Red. And we'll start out with Aaron.
Wait. You just have to mention also that I'm your husband.
Well,
you have to mention that. You can't do that.
I was going to add that
you
later.
Have to say
you're
that.
Ruining my podcast.
I'm
please,
sorry.
I told you you were going to overtake this podcast.
No,
now
I'm
please
not
be quiet.
Okay, but I just
I'm in control
like,
here.
You
this
know when
isn't your
like
room.
In the Washington Post whenever they mention Amazon, they say, "Oh, we should mention that we're
guess
also
what?
Owned
I was
going to
be all cute and be like, "Spoiler alert, he's also my husband. I'm sleeping with the writer." And you ruined it.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Okay, so now shush up.
Okay.
We're starting with Aaron Accurso, who is an award-winning composer. I actually worked with him the first time in this musical called Dogs of Pripyat, and that's how I found his work and I fell in love with it. He's also a conductor, a Broadway pianist, and the associate musical director of Aladdin on Broadway, among many other shows on Broadway that he has done.
Indeed.
Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks for having
woo!
Me.
Aaron's here.
I love spending time woo! With you guys.
Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey in theater? Did you always want to be doing what you're doing now?
So I actually grew up performing in Denver, Colorado, and went to, at some point along the line, somebody suggested, hey, you could be a music director, you could be a composer. And so I started doing those things too. And went to college, and I did an a cappella group, and I did choir, and I did theater. And I left college, St. Olaf College, and moved to New York and thought, oh, I can kind of do it all. And then quickly realized that you can't do everything.
Yeah.
So I started focusing more on the writing and the music directing. And when I first got to New York, I was playing auditions and going off to do summer stock and regional theater. I did a tour for a year, Seussical the Musical. And then I decided to stay put in New York and do the BMI workshop, which is where I started the Dogs of Pripyat a couple years later. And so, yeah, it's been a great journey so far.
When did you make that change to, you know, when did you decide that? What was like the...
I think I actually had the idea of being a music director all the way back in eighth grade.
Oh!
Yeah, which is kind of funny. A guy named Steve Silverstein, maybe you know him, music directed You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown out in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I was playing Charlie Brown and liked to play the score. And so he said, you know, you can do this as a living. And so that's where the idea got planted in my head. And, at the time there really isn't a major for it. So I was just dabbling in it in college, taking conducting the shows. And
what did you major in?
I got a Bachelor of Arts in Music Theory Composition.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. And I started writing songs in high school, and, I thought, oh, I'm going to write a musical in college. So that, that's how I started.
Oh, very cool. Okay, and spoiler alert, Joey Mazzarino is my husband.
So what does that mean?
And okay, so we grew up down the street from each other.
We did.
We did high school plays together. I was Kim, he was Hugo in Bye Bye Birdie. And
it's true, this is not a lie.
We were not dating at that point.
Not dating.
And why don't you tell them about your journey in theater.
My journey in theater. I was just like you, people. I wanted to be an actor, and then I became a puppeteer. So if you see me with a puppet on my arm, don't pity me. I was one of you. I started off wanting to do theater, and then I was studying theater at Fordham, and I also worked at a nursery school at the time. They watched Sesame Street a lot. And I loved it. I thought it was really funny as a 19-year-old. And one day, this woman came in to teach comedy improv to our acting class. Her name was Camille Benora. It's Camille Camporis now. And she is one of the funniest people I know. And she said she worked as a Muppeteer. And I was like, what? That's the job? You get to do that? And she said, I do. And she said I could come and meet Jim Henson because I told her how much I love the show. And I went there, and it was the first time I saw like people puppeteering. I was like, wow, this is a job? You could do this? I want to do this. This is my people. This is the place I should be. So I went and built a lot of puppets in my basement.
His parents thought he was crazy.
They did. They were.
And they thought he would never make a living doing
that. What? A puppeteer? What is that, even a job? And it was. But this is how ignorant I was about puppets at the time. I remember seeing Empire Strikes Back with my dad, driving back going, wow, Frank Oz must be really small for him to fit in that Yoda suit. That's how dumb I was about puppets as a child.
My husband makes me so angry
because his career has been so charmed.
So he became this puppeteer on Sesame Street. I mean, he does
talent. Maybe
he does work very hard. He was obsessed with puppets in his basement for at least a year.
I built puppets and trained myself.
And we used one of those puppets.
We did.
We used it in a showcase. In our reading.
Yeah, we did.
He was obsessed with puppets. Then he gets on Sesame Street. He's a puppeteer for years. And then they say to him, oh, you're really funny. Would you want to write some shows? And why don't you tell them what you said?
Well, this woman, Lisa Simon, was one of the producers. She was awesome. And this is something I tell everybody. She was my yes because she thought I was funny. And she said, do you want to try writing for the show? And I was like, oh, I'm not a writer, because in college people said, oh, you don't know how to use a comma or a semicolon and all that stuff, so you're not a writer. But she saw something in me, thought I was funny, and said, do you want to audition as a writer? And I was like, no, I can't. She said, we pay for the audition. And I was kind of a hungry actor and puppeteer. And I was like, oh, yes, then I want to write. But I always find this very important in my career, like be somebody's yes, because that's what Lisa was for me. Like somebody who can tell you, you can do this. You're amazing. So look for the people who tell you yes.
And so cut to, he's won like a million awards.
I think it's a million and three. I had a million and three.
We keep Emmys apartment. In our bathroom, a separate apartment.
They're perfect. You can put two rolls of toilet paper on the wings of the Emmys, and they're very nice. So
for writing, and then the same thing, directing. How did that happen?
Well, I started directing with Matt Vogel, who plays now Big Bird and Kermit the Frog on Muppets. We started directing. We made a short film, and I got interested in it that way. And then one day they were like, oh, do you want to direct the show? And I was like, nah, I just want to make films. I don't want to do this. And they're like, no, we really think you know how to shoot puppets. So I was like, all right. And then it turned out to be like the most fun thing, especially if you write the script. To direct it is really fun. So nobody could screw it up. Just direct your own stuff. But I think the lesson here is I thought I was going to be a musical theater person or an actor. I never would have imagined puppetry. So like be on the lookout for that thing that really excites you, because it may be this weird left turn that you take that becomes your obsession or your life, or like here I am 30 years later.
We see that all the time on the podcast. Just say yes to whatever opportunities come along.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
The door opens, go in.
And then you started writing lyrics.
Then I started writing lyrics. Sesame Street was the most amazing place to write lyrics, because you'd get like, I got to write for Elvis Costello and Gwen Stefani and Janelle Monáe. I got to, with Bill Sherman, we wrote a song that won an Emmy for a song. So yes, I got to write these really fun lyrics and sometimes parody the artist, sometimes do a song in the vein of the artist, and sometimes just totally original.
And now he writes on the show Kidding for Showtime, starring Jim Carrey.
Yes, an amazing show created by the awesome Dave Holstein.
And it's basically fair to say that you wrote Seeing Red for me.
This is true. This is absolutely true. I was so frustrated because every time like a show would come up and like she was Penny, and I'm like, oh, she's going to win a Tony. That's a great role. And then, so, you know, she didn't win it. I'd get all angry. And then she'd get other roles in like Catch Me If You Can. I love that song. And I was like, oh, such a good song. She's going to win a Tony. I said, I am going to write a show for my wife that totally showcases her. And it's like, it's going to win her a Tony. Hasn't happened yet. And still, that is why I wrote it. I was like, what can I write that showcases my wife's comedy and her voice and her amazing acting.
So we wrote this great script, and then we were looking for composers, and I introduced him to Aaron because I loved his music. I thought it's really dark and funny.
You didn't even introduce me. You let me listen to it.
Right, right.
And
that's
then
how I introduced
we were on
you
the crew. Right. Oh, right. I thought you meant like a personal. No. Like, hello, this is Aaron. I thought, sorry, I misunderstood.
It's okay, it's
I'm not.
Okay.
See, they were right. I'm dumb. College was right. I'm an idiot.
Anyway, you can take over from there about.
Oh no, no, no! Tell him where we met. How did we meet Aaron? How do we? The first time we met Aaron, where was it?
Yeah, we met on a Disney cruise ship.
Yeah, baby.
Yes. Yeah.
On the high seas.
We love Disney cruises. Yes.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, yeah. It was a
and
perfect
he
gig.
Pitched Aaron the story yeah. on the cruise in the bar.
So, Aaron played for Carrie at a show on the Disney cruise ship in the Mediterranean. It was awesome.
Because Aaron also, oh my gosh, I forgot to even say that you guys wrote my theme song for the podcast.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
A lot of great feedback about it,
oh,
guys.
Good.
Yes. And Aaron has also worked for a lot of Disney shows. And so that's why he was my music director
and
on,
worked on your album too.
And my album.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Done a lot of work with Michael Kosrin, who goes by Kaz. And,
yes.
And he was the music director for your, or the producer for your album.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So yeah, so we were, Aaron played for Carrie on the ship and I loved Aaron's music and I took the opportunity when I had a few drinks in him after the show. I was like, Aaron, I know you're a slightly nauseous on this cruise, but can I pitch you the show? And he said, well, yeah. And then you said, let's try a song together.
I love that. And it was zany, but it also had these great themes of finding your agency, and it was dealing with immigration and all the things that separate us as humans.
And this is before Trump. Like the immigration theme was there before
Trump was even
running.
So I was excited about the idea.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Cut to, it's written. We're trying to figure out what to do with it. We did a small little reading at for agents, and then they loved it and set up another reading for producers. But this is what you do. You do these readings and showcases to try and get people to invest in the show and come on board. And we can talk about the casting process.
Yeah.
I became the producer of the show.
That's
and so
right.
I was involved with pretty much every step of the way.
You still are the producer of the show.
I am, yeah, yes.
Yeah, we haven't fired you yet. You're still there. Sorry.
So a lot of people, we cast people that we knew because it's so quick.
I should mention there are puppets in it too. Like part of it, the whole idea is like it's a really adult themes, but told in the style of a children's theater. So we have some puppets, and I pulled in a bunch of performers who are not only Broadway stars like Stephanie DeBruzzo and also Tyler Bunch, who does a lot of stuff, and he's also a great puppeteer, and Jen Barnhart. So we got people from my world and then from Carrie's world.
At this point, we've done two staged readings. Is that right?
Right, we did one for producers, and then we won
the True Voices.
Yeah,
yeah
last
True
year
Voices
we submitted. There are a bunch of things you could submit your shows to all these kind of contests or not contests. It's not like you're gonna win a Buick.
It's like you get a free.
It's
reading.
Like a workshop or whatever. Yeah. You get a reading and they give you some money for development.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we got to do it last year, and last year we have a really good story.
Really good story. But first, let's just talk about the process for the first reading. How we've gotten the actors who have done it before. A lot of times it's just people we know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't have auditions.
No, and especially for a table read. I think the first time we got a few people that were just really good sight readers and could learn the music quick, and people that could, like, an alto, soprano, tenor, bass that could sing all of the ensemble stuff.
Right, because they played multiple roles.
Exactly, exactly. And then some fantastic actors, and they learned some specific songs that we wanted them to learn, and then other songs, Joey and I just sang them. And then for the next one, yeah, we taught everybody, but it was, yeah, it was mostly just actors that we knew.
But how do we get John? John Conley, like,
I worked with him in on the Bat Boy reading.
Oh, because, like,
yes,
the Bat
and I
guy
thought
was,
that
like,
he thought that he would be great.
He's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, so I basically beg my friends, send scripts to them, and
it's a lot of emailing.
Yeah, a lot of emailing, and you know, certainly up and coming people are very anxious to do it. Because they want to get in the room and they want to get in front of all these big producers and they want to meet people like the two of you. You know, my friends who do this all the time, it's a ton of work for like no money.
Right.
And so that definitely, they have to believe in the project and really want to do it to sign up for something like this.
Right.
Yeah, we're always so grateful for everybody who wants to do it because it, like you said, it's almost
so
no
much
money.
Work. Yeah, it's the Equity Stage reading is 29 hours for like $100.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're starting out and you want to do stuff like this, you have to know that you have to have another job because you won't be able to afford to live on $100 for 29 hours.
But have you ever, you've done readings where you've gotten the part and it's gone on, right?
I have. Oh, yes. But I should talk about, one year I did five readings. I was the star of five readings and I always want to do them because a lot of times the same cast ends up going with it to Broadway. So I did the readings for Legally Blonde, Xanadu, Little Mermaid, Wedding Singer, and one other. I can't remember what it was, but they were all big, big shows. I was the lead and I was like, oh, look at me. Which one am I going to choose? I don't know. Cut to getting recast in all of them.
Even Xanadu?
Even Xanadu.
Oh, wow.
And Xanadu, I probably would not have chosen over the other ones just because the other ones had bigger name
and
movies.
One and was Ariel, which is your dream.
Right, right. So I got recast in all of them, and then Xanadu ended up coming back to me. What?
No, it was meant
to
be.
I remember the call. I remember the call Carrie got. We were at her mom's house in Florida, and she gets a call, and I hear her going, yeah, I roller skate. Of course I roller skate. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've been with Carrie for years now, and I've never seen her on skates. She's like, yeah, you know, I could totally do it. And then she got off the phone. She's like, I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, they're offering me Xanadu. And I was like, but you told them you can skate. She's like, I can skate. I was like, when's the last time you skate? She's like, when I was like 10. I was like, oh, okay, good. Then you can skate.
I went to all those roller birthday parties.
That's right, all those roller birthday parties.
But so anyway, that's what I got nominated for a Tony for. And I would have, it was just like, you just have to trust that you get what you are meant to get. Right. And, you know, certainly people who we don't use in the reading of this, they will stay in our memory if they did a great job in the reading and we'll use them for something else in the future.
Absolutely. And it's not just about what a good job they do, but like, right. Are they exactly bringing the passion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they present in the rehearsal?
That's
do they like
point.
The material?
That's a great point.
You know, are they involved? And, you know, we also want to think that they like the piece.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's a really good point.
I think our biggest thing was like, we know it's very little money. We want to have a really fun time.
Yeah.
Like that. We want to play. Like that's how we went into that.
We want to play and have passion.
Right.
So as the producer, one of the interesting things was that both of you guys' main thing was something different in terms of casting. Like Aaron really needs, because it's so fast and the music is so hard, Aaron really needs sight singers.
Yes.
Yeah, especially in such a short process like that.
And I'm actually, for those of you out there worried, I'm not an excellent sight singer. I took it in school, but no one could hand me music and me be off book singing it. But
very
I do.
Fast.
I have a good ear.
Yeah.
And so I can get it in the room and then I will drill it overnight and then come in the next day. But that is what you expect, right? Just
absolutely,
so
yeah.
You expect people to know it the next
to
day.
To do their homework. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know
and
that,
there are people that
there's
that
a hard
can,
fast rule about knowing it the next day necessarily. But that, yeah, that you're going to go and you're going to be prepared for rehearsals and that you're going to do some work outside of the 29 hours that we have.
And that you'll be able, you need to have confidence that they'll be able to get it.
Of course.
Because it's
yeah.
only 5 days.
No, and it's high stakes for us too because we can't do these very often and
right.
they're expensive.
That's right. That's right. And you're doing it in front of all of these like big people and you only get, you know, it's like you're auditioning your show.
That's right. We're auditioning the show and we're trying to see if the show is working.
Right.
You know, writing is rewriting. So
that's the biggest hard. That's the hardest part of that process for us. I think it's like you listen to it. You get to listen to it only really once through. And then you got to go off after that and then figure it out. It would be great to be able to have more time to develop.
Yeah. And Joe's main thing in casting is funny.
Funny. Yeah. You have to be funny on it. Like when you're like just reading a script sort of cold, to try and bring something, or if it's not cold, like it's your first time through, just try to figure out different ways to do it and be funny.
But that was the challenge with this show, I feel like, because it's such a hard show. It's so hard musically, and everyone needs to do so many different things. They have to puppeteer. They have to be funny. Their voices have to be great. Mm-hmm. So casting was very difficult.
Right.
And the second round, the person who did the first reading, so many people were unavailable the second time around. People were out of town. The lead guy is a very specific character, the man who plays opposite me.
Right.
He has to be African-American, funny, amazing voice. He sings a ton and also very grounded and heartfelt. So he really has to do it all. And we have a hard time casting him. The people we knew that would be right for the role were out of town. And then I ran into someone who I did a show with, and he actually would be great for the part. And so I suggested, we were running out of time at this point too. And so I suggested him to do the show. He was really excited. He came in. Did he work with you one day, I guess?
Yeah, I think he worked with Paul Staroba, who was music directing the reading.
And then the first day of the reading, he came in and he just said, you know, I'm not a sight singer. I don't think I'm going to be able to get off book enough to showcase this in the way you want it to by Friday, which I actually commend him for, because he's thinking about your interests and he didn't want to be in the pages the entire time. He wanted to be able to get up and act out the song, and he just didn't think he was capable of doing it.
That's right. So...
yeah, and I was in LA when I heard this. But I wasn't even there.
I didn't realize that. We're all texting each other. Rehearsals are happening right now. The reading is in like 4 days.
Yeah, Friday. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like 3 days. I think it was Friday, and we had the reading on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. So we're freaking out. He says he'll do it, but he didn't pull out of the reading. He said he'll do it, but he just said, you know, I feel like you should try and find somebody who will be able to do it justice in this really short amount of time.
That's right.
So then that makes us nervous.
Oh yeah.
Because then we think, well, we have to find somebody else, because if he's insecure, then we're going to be insecure the entire time. So we start calling everyone we know, asking for suggestions.
I was trying to pretend to be in the moment in the room and like looking at
videos
that
there's
in my writer's room, and I'm trying to split my focus and going, oh my God, we're dead. Like I'm flying back to do the show. We don't have a lead guy. and I'm trying to watch these things. I'm like, yeah, call anybody, everybody.
Aaron and I were calling all musical directors we knew. Finally, Seth Rudetsky.
At Friday night at like 7 o'clock. It was like late because it was Friday.
No, I know. I thought this was like Monday.
No.
Oh.
When Seth told you about it was like Friday because I was in the room.
Okay.
I was still in the room and it was like late in the afternoon.
So Seth Rudetsky loves casting. He's like, I'm on it. He calls or gets in touch with, oh my gosh, now I'm-
Michael.
Right. Yes, yes, Michael from the Broadway Gospel. Yes, Michael McElroy. Yes. And he recommends someone to us. He didn't tell us anything about this guy. He just sent us videos of him.
Yeah.
And we watched videos of him singing. Do you remember this, Aaron?
Yeah,
you're looking puzzled.
And I can't remember. No, I do. And I was trying to remember what videos they were. And I think they were maybe singing in church.
Yeah, it was singing in church.
Yes.
It wasn't in the theater.
Yes. And so we didn't know anything about, we didn't know his age. We didn't know what he'd done on Broadway. We didn't know if he could act. But at this point, we just needed somebody. He could sight sing. And we're like, all right, he can sight sing.
Right.
We have somebody. We saw, he has a gorgeous voice on this video.
Right.
And so we said yes. And we thought, since they were recommending him, we thought, oh, but he must be a Broadway person. But we couldn't find some. We thought, oh, he must be like doing tons of shows all the time because they recommended him.
Right. Come to find out.
Aaron has the first meeting with him.
Yeah. No, and he's non-equity. I think he lived in maybe Connecticut at the time.
And he had to go to a funeral for his uncle in Boston.
Oh, that's right.
And he couldn't get there till like 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night to meet you.
That's right. Yeah. No. So we met very late at Pearl Studios. I didn't know Pearl Studios was open this late. We went through all the material and he was reading it down and
we also gave him the demos so he could listen to on the train back. So he became familiar with it
on the way back from the funeral. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. But yeah, he jumped in.
It's Alan Lewis.
Yeah.
Is the guy who did it.
And he's young.
And we found out he just graduated from college opposite me. but it didn't read as crazy.
Yeah, he was just out of school.
Just out of school.
You have to be when you're just out of school. You have to have the chutzpah to say, I can do that.
Yeah, and he's going to be here in a little while. So we will interview him and find out what was going through his head as all of this is happening.
I remember that first time he sang for us on Sunday morning when we all were around together. And, we did a full read through or something with the whole cast that morning. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
We're okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
he
can sing. That's
and
right.
I was literally in awe of him. I'm like, how did you do this?
I know. He learned it in one day.
Yeah.
Learned everything in one
day. He was staying on a friend's couch and he was learning this stuff. He said he didn't sleep much the night before.
And his voice was glorious.
Yeah, beautiful.
So practice your sight reading.
That's the moral of the story.
The moral of the story, yeah. And then when somebody comes with an insane idea for you to do, try it.
And we haven't talked to him since then. So it'll be fun to see what even happened from that. Okay, Aaron, since you are also a composer, conductor, musical director in the room, what do you feel like is the biggest mistake actors make, either when they're in a show or when they're auditioning?
Okay, so I do a lot of casting for Aladdin and help narrow it down to a few choices where Kaz and Casey Nicola then choose the actors. And two things come to mind for me. One is, have you done your homework? So have you figured out what the lyrics of the song mean? Have you thought about what the song is about, how it fits into the show? Mm. Have you thought about what the character wants in this song? Have you listened to the MP3s that the casting director sent and maybe gone over it with a pianist? So, there's a lot you can't prepare in the audition room, but you can definitely do your homework and figure out. And it's amazing how many people come in and actually don't understand all the lyrics that they're saying in the song.
Wow.
It makes a big difference.
That is surprising that people wouldn't know to do that.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing that comes to mind for me is... be nice to the pianist.
Oh, so, you never know who the pianist is.
Absolutely.
And what they're
exactly. And it's not just saying thank you as you leave the room. It's also, what does your music look like that you're standing in front of them?
Mm.
Are all the notes on the page? There are a lot of people who just like cut off the bottom and try to look at it from their perspective because they want to do well for you.
Right. That's a
really
good point.
Is it just like flimsy pieces of paper that are going to fall off? And, are you asking them to transpose on the spot? And sometimes that's okay, but usually it's better if you have it printed or at least some chords written in depending on the style of the song. And it everybody notices behind the table how, are you shooting looks to the pianist? And
oh, like giving dirty looks?
Sure, yeah. Oh, and it really affects. No, people do that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm sure. And, and when things aren't going exactly right, and it might be the pianist's fault, then the people behind the table usually know that, too.
Because it's happened for the bunch of people before them, probably, or something like
that. Right, it's happened before them, or we know the song, or we know what's...
Oh, uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Know what's going on, so...
You don't have to.
If you can, it's much more, it's much better to roll with the punches.
Yes.
Can you make music with this person that you've been given with?
Yes, that actually could show you in a great spotlight. Yeah, because then those are the people that you want to work with.
Absolutely. People that are generous in spirit and people that, that can make do in live theater.
Yeah.
And I should say also about in being prepared, if it's not a side that they give you, if you're singing from the show, have you figured out what the show is that you're auditioning for? So if you're just singing a 16-bar cut after dancing, what is the style of the show that you're auditioning for? So there are people that come in and sing for Aladdin that are singing pop ballads with lots of riffs and soft singing, but all of the ensemble in Aladdin has a big muscular sound. And it's a little more traditional, so it's not very helpful for us to hear things that aren't in that style.
Oh, I know something else I wanted to ask. Is there a Are there like ways people can get into the business that they might not think about? Like, I know you worked for BMI Workshop. Do people there audition to be the performers of your songs?
Yeah. So I didn't actually work for the workshop, but I was in the workshop.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And it's...
Oh, maybe let's explain what that is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the BMI, Lehman Engel Musical Theater Workshop, is it's a workshop for learning how to write musical theater, basically. It's been around since the 60s, started by this great conductor named Lehman Engel. So it's a place where you learn how to write dramatically and you learn about song form. And mostly it's you get assignments or you're bringing in work from shows you're working on. And then the class and the moderators comment on the songs. So often we want to bring in other actors to sing the songs for us.
Right.
Which you've done.
Yes, before. I have.
Sometimes we just try to sing the songs ourselves, but it can be really helpful to have actors do it. And it's just asking friends and asking. Sometimes somebody will bring in an actor who's a friend or somebody that they've seen in an audition or something, and then they get lots of calls over and over again.
From other people in the class.
Yeah, it just self-perpetuates. But that's a wonderful way to get seen and to really be appreciated. A lot of great people in the workshop doing wonderful things.
How would people starting out get connected with people like that and say, oh, I'm interested in if you ever need a singer for...
Yeah, I think you could just reach out to somebody in the workshop. Mm. I think they might be actually just this year creating a little registry of people who are interested in that.
That's so smart.
Yeah. But you can just email people and let them know, hey, I'd love to sing for you, and I'm a soprano, and here's the thing, here's what I do, you know, or whatever.
Can you guys think of any other ways that people just starting out, they might not know about it, but this might be a way to get their foot in the door?
How about benefits or...
Oh, yeah, good idea. Those concerts at Joe's Pub.
It's just like you said earlier, doing anything and everything.
Work begets
especially
work.
When you're first... Exactly. And for me, some of the... I did, for example, a show out in Belrose, Queens when I first got to New York. But then that led me to do another thing called Raw Impressions because I met somebody, and that was a much more rich place to meet people and... I got to know Georgia Stitt mostly from a benefit that I was doing with the College Light Opera Company. And from that, she asked me to, I was already playing auditions, but she asked me to play auditions for The Little Mermaid, which she was sitting in for Kaz. And that helped me get to know Kaz. And then also at that same time, I was doing Dramatists Guild Fellowship with Steve Flaherty and Lynn Ahrens as the main moderators. And Lynn had written with Alan Menken. So she wrote an email to Alan, which mostly I think I got The Little Mermaid because I was playing for Kaz at that time, but also probably helped that Lynn and Steve sent an email to Alan and to Kaz. And so that's how I got onto Broadway. It was very unexpected, you know, benefit, really.
Oh.
If you go that far back.
Oh, good. So guess who just walked in? Alan Lewis from The Reading. Alan, we have been talking about you, singing your praises, about what an amazing job you did at you had 3 days until The Reading. Like, you came in and it was 3 days, right?
Yes,
until
yes.
you performed it.
Yes.
So what was going through your mind? You got a text from me?
Yes. So I was actually... It was Friday,
uh-huh.
and I remember it so well because I was literally in Boston at my uncle's funeral, and I had just come back from the wake. We got to the house, and I was just like, you know, I looked at my phone. I think I left my phone at home that evening, and so when I got to the house, I looked at my phone, and I was like, hi, this is Carrie, and I was like, Carrie Butler, like, why is she? I was like, what? I read the text, and like automatically I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And you know, the text of course said, I guess someone couldn't do it anymore. Right. And so you guys needed someone to come in. And you know, I love a challenge. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And so like in my mind, I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? The funeral's tomorrow. This is on Monday. Like, you know, all those things kind of like how I'm going to make it happen, you know, came to mind. But
And what was going on in your life at that point? Had you just finished college?
I had just finished college.
Did you major in musical theater?
I majored in vocal performance.
Okay.
So I majored in vocal performance, and I had just graduated May prior, so May of 2018. And I had just joined Broadway Inspirational Voices that August. Yeah, so I was very new. I had never...
And he's the one who recommended you.
Yes, yes. Michael McElroy, the amazing Michael McElroy. Yeah, so I had never really done anything professionally in New York City. I hadn't really auditioned. Like, this was kind of like, you know, Broadway Inspirational Voices was like the first professional thing I did in the city. And so this was obviously major for me, you know, being able to jump in with all these amazing people to do this reading. So it was great.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, everyone in the audience even was talking about you and afterwards and saying how natural you were as an actor and your voice.
Thank you.
How was the rehearsal process for you?
Was there ever a time you wanted to run?
So when I got, you know, of course I got sent the music, you know, you guys sent me this.
Did you say yes before or after you saw the music?
I said yes before. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the music, you know, the first time I actually looked at it was, you know, a little bit that night I listened to some of the stuff that you guys sent to me, like some demos, I think you, Carrie, sent to me. And the first time I actually really looked at the stuff was on the Amtrak train ride down to meet Aaron, you know, at
Pearl Studios.
And my train was delayed. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes.
Like, my train was delayed.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm at this train station. I don't know what time I'm going to be in New York City, but I got there, like, we had like 30 minutes before they actually closed. So we kind of like ran through.
Oh, that's right. We just
tried to
run through
things. And then when I got, you know, I stayed at a friend's house because I actually live in Connecticut. So I stayed at a friend's house in New York that night and half falling asleep, like trying to see what I can learn, you know, from these. Yeah, so trying to learn the things while I was at my friend's house at night and then, you know, fell asleep. And then the next day, that Sunday, was the day rehearsal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was interesting. Everyone had already...
Been doing it.
And so everyone was like, really, you know...
You didn't seem nervous at all. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was in shock. Because not only could you sing it, you didn't seem like you were flustered at all.
Were you flustered?
I was. But I guess I'm a good actor.
I did not notice.
Yeah, but it was a very welcoming room as well. I think that's one of the things that took that feeling of anxiousness and nervousness out, because everyone was just so willing, and you know, you, Carrie, everyone just kind of like helping me really get into it. And so it was definitely a great group, yeah.
We had so much fun rehearsing that show.
That was really fun. Very fun.
What's happened for you since then? Because you hadn't really auditioned for anything before that. And,
no.
And so, that was a way to make an entrance.
Right. So after that, that was in February.
Yeah.
A couple months after that, I went on tour with Ben Platt.
Oh my gosh!
For his spring tour.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I did that for, it was a 6-week situation. We rehearsed for 2 weeks in New York City, and then we went on a 3.5-week, I guess, a tour. And then a month later, we went to London for a little bit and did a show down there. And then, you know, since then, I've been working on, you know, personal projects and kind of writing.
What kind of writing? You have a concert coming up too.
I do. So I actually enjoy writing musical theater.
Oh, awesome.
I've been writing gospel for a while, and I like to write folk music. And so I actually have my composer lyricist debut coming up next week, where I will be showcasing, you know, my music. And yeah, it's
where are you doing that?
At the Green Room 42.
All right.
Yeah, and I have some amazing, you know, members of the community helping me out.
I don't usually talk about God on my podcast. I don't think I ever have. But it's so crazy, because when this all happened, I remember being to Joe, I'd be like, we better pray about it. We better pray that we find somebody. And then we got recommended you through the gospel choir. And then you were like, I'm at a funeral for my uncle,
yes.
who is a pastor, yeah. this huge pastor. Yeah. And so I feel like God brought us to you.
Thank you.
And,
yeah.
you know, and it was for you to have this career.
Sure.
Like when you're looking for signs in your life, I feel like you can know this is how you started your career. God's
Absolutely.
Leading you. He's
Absolutely.
Your agent.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do have a strong faith in that sense. My father's actually a pastor as well.
Oh.
And so is my uncle. And so, you know, I've always had that mindset, you mm-hmm. know, that what's for me is for me. And, mm. There's no need for me to rush or kind of,
wow.
you know, be angry, like when doors don't open and stuff like that, because I know that, you know, he's got me and
his timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And that definitely came across when you were in the room too, because you were confident, but not in an ego-based
way.
No,
not way. Cocky at all.
Yeah.
No, just
yeah.
serve yourself. That's yeah. I think that's amazing, because I feel like throughout your career, you could be like the guy or the woman who looks to your right and looks to your left and sees, well, I went to school with that person and they're doing this. Mm-hmm. But to know that what's for you is really a
sure.
great
yeah. message. Yeah, that's a great message.
Yeah.
So were you still sight reading the music during the performance, or did you learn it and then use lyrics?
I knew it. I was just using it for lyrics.
So did you study piano as well?
I studied piano, actually. I played the piano since I was young. I started playing the piano at my father's church. I never studied piano, so I didn't actually know how to read. And I still am not the greatest reader.
Wow.
Yeah, as far as, like, playing the piano.
You fooled me.
But as far as, you know, sight reading for singing and stuff,
right.
you know, I've been doing that for a while, and that's yeah. I'm very comfortable in that. So I also learned music very fast. And so
yes.
this process, kind of like once the music got in me, it was just kind of trying to remember the words, but
right.
that seemed to be pretty comfortable with that.
And we found you through the internet. So had you been posting videos of yourself singing on purpose?
Yes. So uh-huh. I wish I was better at Instagram. I do my best to.
Tell everybody your Instagram handle.
My Instagram is I am Alan Lewis. So I am Alan, AllenLouis. So I try to post singing videos of me, you know, on a regular basis. That kind of slowed down. But I did start, you know, putting videos of me singing, and that's, you know,
it's smart
how,
because
yeah.
I guess, you know, that's how we found you.
No, right, because if those videos yeah. weren't on there, we would have never called, because sure. it was, we didn't know who you were, and we saw the videos
yeah.
and we're like, wow, a guy can sing. Let's call him. But
no,
that's
true.
Amazing that you had
that's
it
something
there, so
people at
people
home
do,
can
yeah.
do.
Absolutely, yeah,
yeah.
For a reading. Yeah, we look at YouTubes.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So thank you so much for being here, everyone.
Thank you.
I usually, my last question is, what do you wish you knew when you came here, or what advice would you give to somebody just starting out, or, you know, who hasn't started out yet?
Okay, so I did, in 2015, I did a program with the American Theater Wing called Springboard NYC. And so they're kind of like, it was like a 2-week summer intensive for graduating college students that are pursuing this career. And there's something they said at least every day that stuck with me. And it is, you know, it's cliche in just the fact that it's always been said, but being yourself and really sticking to what makes you is so important, because,
yes.
you know, everyone's doing this. Everyone, you know, sometimes you feel the need to change yourself based on what everyone else is doing. And honestly, I think what has worked for me is kind of just staying in my lane,
mm-hmm.
Not swerving, and just kind of, you know, doing what I do. And in the audition room, for example, you know, behind the wall, you may hear someone just, and that, you know, just with a glorious voice, and that could sometimes,
yes. psych
you out. You're like, what should I do differently once I get into the room? And I've noticed that that's really not the way of attacking it. It really is staying true to yourself and just doing what you do and doing it the best way that
yes.
you can do, and not, you know, not copying anyone else. Just,
beautiful.
You know, being you. Yeah.
Joe?
I think maybe it would be not to think you're never going to work again, which was when I was younger. Like when I was young, you know, you're a freelancer, and that's a really hard thing to be.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're not making a lot of money. and you do that one job and you're in heaven and it's like, I'm working, I'm the best, this is the greatest feeling in the world. But guess what? That show's gonna end in 6 months or 6 weeks or 6 days. And then you're gonna have this emptiness and think, I'm never gonna work again.
I still get like that.
I still do too. It's still a thing I have to. I wish I could make it go away, but just trust that if you just keep working, and especially as a writer, this is what I do. I just get up the next day, and if I don't have a job that somebody's paying me for, I spend time and I write. And if you're a singer, go and spend time and find where you're going to sing or perfect your voice or take that acting lesson. But
do it for free.
Because that's the thing. Like, if I didn't prep myself when I was writing, I would buy these screenplay books. I wasn't asked to write a screenplay, but I was interested and I learned. And then somebody gave me a script and said, for a Sesame movie, and said, what would you do differently with this script? And I said, well, and I knew all the words that an act two, this should happen. And they said, wow, he seems to know what he's talking about. I didn't, but I knew the words and they gave me a job writing that. So just keep perfecting what you're working on and trust that you are going to work again. In the meantime, go get the waiter job.
And Aaron?
I think I want to reiterate a few thoughts that we've talked about. One is bringing the passion to whatever you're doing, to any reading, any small gig that you're doing. Really be present, be prepared. So I guess it's three P's. And then something...
three P's of Aaron Kirsten.
Joey was doing a puppet hand.
Yeah. I took off my sock. I'm doing potty to podcaster. I'm on Broadway.
Sorry, Aaron.
Sorry.
Continue with your peeing.
This is what it's like working with Joey. It's always fun. And so something I wish I knew when I first moved out here is that I could reach out to people and then I could intern directly with music directors and composers and people that are working at the top of the industry. I think I was self-limiting in a way I didn't even know, which is I was thinking, I've got to do these summer stocks, and then I've got to do a tour, and then I've got to do this thing. And it was until much later that I realized, people in the industry are very generous, and they want to give back, and you can reach people and talk to them. Doesn't mean everybody's going to respond to every email you send out, but that it's okay to contact people.
Great advice. Is there anything you would like to plug, Aaron?
Yeah, so we're going to do a concert of The Dogs of Pripyat, which you know well.
Beautiful show.
At the Green Room 42 on March 2nd at 7 p.m.
You guys should definitely see it. You won't be disappointed. Thank you all so much for being here, and thank you all for listening to Breaking Broadway. Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Broadway, produced by Broadway Podcast Network. Opening song by Aaron Accurso and Joey Mazzarino. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, please like, leave a comment, or share with your friends. See you next time for more insider tips to making it on Broadway.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.